It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome to a Wednesday morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with you as well as Mac Morey, our executive producer. I said that I would keep it cool, calm, and collected. Well, I said everything but collected. Bob filled in the rest because I forgot the saying. Short-term memory loss. Anyways, welcome to the show on a Wednesday. Damn glad to have you. 6 a.m. in Kansas City. We are one day away from kickoff against the Ravens and your Kansas City Chiefs. Every Wednesday we are going to do this. Poll question. You can find this on our Twitter handle on at 96.5 The Fan, or The Fan 96.5, I should say. And it's a real simple one. Go to at The Fan 96.5. We have a poll question up for you. Be sure to fill it out. Who will lead the Kansas City Chiefs in receptions on Thursday night's game against the Baltimore Ravens? There are four options: Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, and the dark horse, Isaiah Pacheco. Lot of hands, one football. Who leads the Chiefs in receptions? You can find that poll question on The Fan 96.5 on our Twitter or X page. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco. It is football season. We are happy to have you. This is the first time we've got to do a football season with the show, as it has obviously still got the new car smell. But happy Wednesday, Mr. Bob Fesco.
Happy Wednesday to you as well. I like the fact that it's Wednesday. It's a four-day week, and we're, you know, one day closer to game day. And you know you're getting closer and closer to game day when you see the folks on X and social media posting. They were at the Hy-Vee this morning getting their flags, Dusty. Getting the Chiefs flags, getting the season started, getting ready to go. And we are just one day away. I can't believe it's finally here where we're actually going to get to see a real football game. We're going to get to see a game that matters. We're going to get to see the Chiefs go out there and light the world on fire and really embarrass their first opponent, the Baltimore Ravens, in some 24, 36 hours roughly or so, whatever it is, you know, from now when they kick it off at Arrowhead Stadium. But I like this poll question because I think there's a number of different ways you could go and who's going to lead this team in receptions on Thursday night. And my initial gut tells me to go with Rashee Rice on this one. I'm expecting big things from this kid this year because they've been really, really intrigued with Rashee Rice since training camp started. Like, that was one of the first reports that I got from folks up at training camp was like, oh my God, Rashee Rice. Like, they are in love with this guy. And so I think he's going to be the type of guy that A, wants to prove something to everybody who's been doubting him this offseason. And B, I think the Chiefs really have that kind of faith in him where he's going to go out there and lead this team in receptions. Because I think if you're Baltimore, the logical decision would be to try to eliminate Travis Kelce from the game, right? I mean, I think that's kind of what you want to do. You want to take away the best player, and that is Travis Kelce. Nobody's really sure what Xavier Worthy's going to do, right? You have some tape on him, but you don't really know how good he's going to be. Isaiah Pacheco out of the backfield could be a dark horse in this one, but I think it's Rashee Rice, man. I think Rashee Rice is the way to go. He's the receiver that's going to lead this team in receptions on Thursday night. Doesn't mean he's going to have the most yards and the most touchdowns, but I think he's going to be like that guy that probably gets 10 targets, has 8 receptions, and we call it a day, and the Chiefs go on to win 72-0 in this one.
Is that the number, Bob? 8? that we're going with?
I think eight feels pretty good for Rashee Rice. I think he's probably going to have double-digit targets in this game, though, Mac. I think, you know, they're going to look for Rashee Rice early. I think they're going to look for Rashee Rice often. And he proved, you know, kind of at the end of last season when Jordan Love was doing Jordan Love things and leading the Packers to the NFC Championship game, about the same time that Rashee Rice emerged. I mean, that's kind of what happens with rookies and young guys. And, you know, you get past that first 10 to 12 game mark of the season, and December and January turns into like, all right, now I'm a veteran. Now I've kind of figured this thing out. And another year in the system and another year of, you know, with that trust with Patrick Mahomes, I think that's the guy right there. I think he's probably going to lead the team in receptions all year. Again, that doesn't mean he's going to lead in yards. It doesn't mean he's going to lead in touchdowns or anything like that. But I think he's going to be the guy at the end of the year. We look back, probably leads this team in receptions. I'm excited to watch him play this year.
Do you guys want to take a guess at who led the Chiefs in receptions last year against the Detroit Lions in game one of the season? Now, remember,
I'm going to say Kadarius Toney did.
Travis Kelce didn't play. Remember,
right. Yeah, no Kelce. Yeah.
Take a guess. Take a guess. Anybody. Take
Kadarius Toney.
Negative.
Noah Gray.
Nope.
I'm going to say Watson. The other guy that we don't like. Who was the other guy that we didn't like last year that was on the team that was
Richie
dropping
James?
Balls? No, Marcus not
really. Scaling?
No,
oh, MVS?
Not MVS. You know, wasn't there another guy that we didn't like?
We're naming Sky Moore. He didn't have a catch.
No, not Sky Moore. I can't remember anymore.
Isaiah
now.
Pacheco.
Pacheco.
Wow.
All right. Okay. That's not bad.
He had four receptions. The next were two guys had three, Noah Gray and Rashee Rice.
How many receptions would of Kadarius Toney had he not screwed up in that game?
He had. Exactly. So last year, Sky Moore had zero receptions, 0 yards.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney had one catch for 1 yard.
Okay. Oh, so he would have had three. You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My gosh. He would have had three receptions. And one of them would have been a touchdown. The other one would have been a first down. He would have had three catches for about 30. No, more than that. Would have had probably three for like 75 and a touchdown. The Chiefs would have been victorious.
Imagine how different the season would have been for him if they would have just got out there and hauled in those two passes on opening night. It probably would have changed the whole kind of landscape for everybody when it came to Kadarius Toney. But that's a cat who got off to a bad start and like never recovered. Like, he's the Chicago White Sox of the NFL last year. You got off to a bad start, you couldn't figure anything out, and you became an utter disaster right before everybody's eyes. And it's amazing how one bad start, one bad game like that carried over for Kadarius Toney, who I guess was visiting in Seattle over the last couple of days. Wow, Seattle must be really desperate if they're going after Kadarius Toney in that situation. But no, I like Rashee Rice. I think this is going to be the guy that really surprises a lot of people this year, like the casual fan, if you will, outside of Kansas City. Like, man, where'd this Rashee Rice come from? All right, he's pretty good. And people are going to be like racing to grab him on their fantasy squads after Thursday night's game. So Rashee Rice, let's go, baby. Let's go. 8 receptions on the day.
So transition to the Royals real quick, because we'll get into the Chiefs a lot in the next 24 to 48 hours to 72 hours. You said it's a 4-day week. It feels like it's really a 2-day week. We've got today and Friday.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a cakewalk. Thursday, obviously, you're just bleeding Chiefs red and yellow. And then Friday is, you know, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the Royals for a little bit.
Why?
Okay. Well, you want me to just shut up then? Yeah, go ahead. Take the show. Take the show, Bob.
Like,
ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Fesco for the next 6 minutes.
I'm just going to tell you, the last week of baseball has been just uninspiring. I don't know how much right now the Royals are worthy of talking about, Dusty, quite honestly.
Okay. What do you want to talk about then?
I mean, we can continue to talk about Rashee Rice. We can continue to talk about the Chiefs, but the Royals right now are acting like a high school kid who just broke up with his girlfriend and can't get over the fact that she's gone. And that's what's going on with this ball club right now. I mean, 7 straight losses, not a lot to be desired from this ball club right now. The only saving grace is that Boston doesn't seem to want to win any baseball games either, and it's keeping this team alive for the postseason. But right now, man, they're showing everybody nothing. They can't hit, they can't pitch, they can't do anything right now, and it's kind of depressing to watch them.
The Royals, since Vinny Pasquantino injury, this is from Primetime KC, they have 2 home runs and 149 at-bats. Those belong to Bobby Witt Jr. They have a 120 team batting average, and they have one run before the 6th inning. It's not good. It's not great, and there are ways that they have tried to fix it, which I think that they're are ways to kind of get the chemistry back in. I kind of believe in a little bit of what you say, where it's kind of like the analogy of the ex-girlfriend, where it's like, hey guys, like, get over it. It's going to be okay. Everything's fine. Just relax. Because when you think about what Vinny Pasquantino said when he got hurt, he's like, for the first hour, I felt sorry for myself and I was being selfish because I was like, you know, it's all about me. And then Salvador Perez consulted him and said, hey, it's going to be fine. Pick your head up. We're going to fire away. We're going to keep going. And they've had different, you know, guys come in. Obviously, one guy, Gurriel's already hurt with, but he's technically he's probably going to be in the starting lineup today. They were saying on the Royals pregame show on Bally Sports last night. But then John Morosi also was on MLB Network the other day, and he had this to say about since any Pasquantino injury.
The Royals have yet to win a game since Pasquantino's injury. They're 0-4, a six-game losing streak overall. And in all four games since the Pasquantino injury, they've scored exactly 2 runs per game as they've fallen now to third place in the American League Central. They still have a pretty comfortable lead, Lauren, for the sixth and final playoff spot in the American League. But in general, I look at what Pasquantino brought to them in terms of the stability. He was such an ideal complement for Bobby Witt Jr. and for Sal Perez in the middle of that lineup. And I do think they may go with Massey to try to fill that void. But again, when you move Massey down, you open up that spot at the top. And I think that's maybe where they'll go with Pham to see if Tommy, with that veteran ability that he has to blend into wherever he's at, you may see some more of Tommy Pham leading off.
So we're trying to figure out where this team's chemistry is going to move on from what it was. Obviously, you lose a gigantic piece of your puzzle when you lose Vinny Pasquantino, but sometimes you got to, you know, you just got to nut up and move forward. And I know that's easier said than done. But again, like Morosi says, outside of calling him Perez, which I've never understood that with people. And anyways, but 4.5-game lead over Boston, 4.5-game lead over the Detroit Tigers, 5.5 over the Seattle Mariners. Again, I go back to what your expectations were. And again, you have to remember this is September 4th. The season is long. It wears and tears on everybody. It's wearing and tearing on Boston. It's wearing and tearing on the Kansas City Royals. It's wearing and tearing on the Minnesota Twins. Last night, the Twins lost. Last night, the Red Sox lost. Last night, the Royals lost. The Yankees. They're all losing. Everybody's just trying to hang around until the playoffs. So to give the perspective of the glass still half full and to be like, well, I don't want to talk about the Royals because they suck lately. A lot of people suck right now. But again, your expectations at the start of the year should have been one of two things. Be competitive until football starts. Football starts tomorrow night. You're still in the playoffs. After that expectation was, can this team be a playoff team? If your expectations went above that and you went World Series or bust, or you went AL Central or bust, or you went I want to be the number one seed, I'm sorry. It was all within a reaching, you know, distance of getting. But when you go to the original expectations of competitive baseball, playoff baseball, the Royals will do that. Now, unfortunately, they are not the Chiefs. And if you compare them to the Chiefs, that is another expectation that I cannot help you with. Because I saw that on the text line yesterday. I'm just used to seeing the team that goes to the playoffs go all the way through it. Yeah, well, you
used
have
to. What, have you been watching sports for 5 minutes?
I mean,
it doesn't happen that way.
I mean, the Chiefs are a team that go to the AFC Championship game every single year, and the Super Bowl, it seems to be every single year. I'm sorry, the Chiefs are an anomaly in sports. They're going for a three-peat of a championship run. That doesn't happen ever in football, and it hardly happens in sports in general. So, look, the Royals are still a playoff team. Yes, it's been rough. It is a tailspin right now. I am with you on that, and it sucks to watch.
Yeah, it's hard to watch right now.
I'm there
now.
With you. Yeah. But guess what? You still got a 4.5-game lead in the wild card, and there's 23 games left in the season.
It's a big lead, and that's the only saving grace right now. I mean, imagine if Boston had just won a couple of games over the last week.
Then
I mean,
we'd have a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals have lost 7 straight games, and I think gained ground in the standings. Like that's how bad it's been with these other teams. But I think it just goes to show you one thing and one thing only. Sign Vinny Pasquantino to a long-term deal. He's clearly the catalyst for this team, as we've seen over the past week. They can't recover from this Vinny Pasquantino injury.
Time marches on, as Tracy Lawrence once said. Baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Royals baseball, which Vern's pregame show. God bless Vern.
He's doing yeoman's work right now.
5:30 tonight as he gets you geared up for Game 3 of this Cleveland Guardians series. Please get a win for Vern, and please, for the love of God, get a win for Bob Fesco.
Saturday. Yeah, I mean it's been bad. Like
Bob's close to throwing the remote against the wall in the patio.
I'm close to not even turning it on at this point until they can prove that they deserve to be back on the main TV. I mean, thank goodness Boston has stunk, but I mean 7 in a row. It's a tough watch right now.
Yuck.
For these guys. I guess I just didn't realize how big a deal Vinny Pasquantino Pasquantino's loss was going to be. I am not upset. I am disappointed in the other 26 guys on the roster. You've had an opportunity now to step up your game, and nobody's willing to do it. Nobody's wanting to step up their game right now. And I don't want to hear, oh, they're playing Cleveland or Houston or whatnot. Who do you think they're going to play in the playoffs? Because if the season ended today, they'd be facing Houston in a three-game series in Minute Maid. They wouldn't even have a home playoff game unless they won that series and got out of it. So these are the teams you're going to be playing in the postseason, and you're not matching up well with them right now. Singer was okay last night, but again, the bullpen comes in and throws gasoline all over the fire. But if you're not going to score runs, it really doesn't matter what goes on in these games. So I don't know, man. Like, you've got to find a way to get past Vinny Pasquantino being out of this lineup. I mean, it really is like, come on, guys, you're professional baseball players here. Like, you can't let one injury derail the entire season. I mean, take a lesson from the Chiefs. I mean, when they lose players and guys like that, it's next man up. They figure it out. And I know the Chiefs and Royals aren't the same team, and the Royals don't have the championship pedigree and the Patrick Mahomes, but hell, they got Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez. Like, come on, guys, let's go.
I think it's funny that you mentioned the Chiefs there, because I feel, maybe I'm wrong, tell me if I'm wrong, 913-586-7965. Does this feel, with your Royals fandom right now, almost equally the same as how your Chiefs fandom felt after the Christmas Day loss?
Not for me, it doesn't, because I believe in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and I knew they would be fine. And Spector was threatening to fire me because I said they're going to still win the Super Bowl. And he's like, come on, there's no chance they're going to. I'm like, all right, whatever. So, no, not at all, because I've seen the Chiefs do it. I've seen the Chiefs recover. I've seen the Chiefs have their leader step up.
Okay.
Quite honestly, I'm not seeing that with the Royals right now. Now, if there was a track record, if this was year five of something like this where this team was good and, you know, hey, no big deal, it's going to be okay type of thing. But this is year one of that. I have not seen that. I do not see that track record in the Royals right now. And we're seeing a lifeless baseball team, quite frankly, right now from an offensive standpoint. You read the stats. They're hitting 129 as a team since Vinny Pasquantino left the lineup. Like, honestly, like, I'm not joking when I say sign this man. Like, this is why they did not trade him during the offseason. We're seeing the reason why they didn't trade him. I think it was for Jesus Luzardo, whoever it was in Miami. Like, they were not going to trade Vinny Pasquantino for a reason. We're seeing it now right before our eyes. I mean, he may be the biggest catalyst that we didn't know about. And so in this offseason, if you're Vinny Pasquantino, knock on the door, JJ going, hey, how you doing? I need a new contract.
Yeah, just put some injury incentive notions in that contract, and we're good. That's all I have to say about that. There is two sides of every coin, though, when it comes to the Royals. They're not even competitive, which makes it so hard to watch. I hope they finish strong. Let's go Royals. Can we just talk charcuterie?
We can talk charcuterie, yeah, all day long. We got tailgate coming up tomorrow, so I know there's going to be a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I was at Hy-Vee the other day, actually yesterday, to get stuff for dinner. And I saw for like the first time ever, like, the charcuterie section.
Oh, the charcuterie section's amazing at Hy-Vee. Yeah.
Like, I was stuck like the poltergeist where they're like staring at the TV for like 5 minutes going, okay, Capicola. Yeah.
That was me on Saturday morning. I was like, olives. Which meats, like, do going, I want?
Yeah.
And then I bought like one of the Hormel ones that is made up for you for $12.99. I'm like, that'll work for
but
me.
But speaking of Hy-Vee and charcuterie, you're going to be listening later on. We're going to give you an opportunity to win a Hy-Vee gift card later on. We will also have Jay Binkley on at 6:45. But we transition to the Chiefs, right? We know what the big draw is right now, what it's been for the last 10 years in Kansas City. It's been the Kansas City Chiefs. They've earned it. They get it. We know it. They are insanely good in week one. I think the record I just saw was they are 38-10-1 in opening games of the season in the Super Bowl era.
Is that the Andy Reid era?
No, Andy Reid era is a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
9-2 in week one.
9-2. So they lost last year in week one. And who was the other week one loss that they had? It wasn't the first year that Andy Reid was here. And it wasn't that year where they lost five in a row or whatever it was, I don't think.
No, because that season they started off 6-0 and they lost, I think, the next five games.
I'm trying to think of who the other opening day loss.
Did they lose the Chargers in an opening game?
No, that was when Alex Smith came back and like fired up, right?
Yeah,
did they lose to the Patriots in an opener, maybe?
No, because that was when they created the play with Kareem Hunt, and it got copied and copied.
But was that the only time they opened against New England in week one? Was that game? But anyway, either way, Andy Reid has had a lifetime to prepare, you know, for the Baltimore Ravens since the schedule came out, and might as well be coming off a bye week. That's how good Andy Reid is, you know, in these openers, and to have it at home as well, I think is very, very important. So you'll drop the banner. You'll win a football game. You'll be 1-0 before anybody else even begins their Friday practice, which I think is really, really awesome. That's why I love that Thursday night game to start the season. You get kind of a mini bye, if you will, before the season even starts. You're 1-0, you're kicked back, you're relaxed, you're ready to roll, and the rest of the NFL hasn't even started yet.
I'm just super excited that football's back for real. Like, we don't have to worry about preseason football games, and we get to continue to hear people ask the same old question. I didn't know that, what's his face from Pro Football Focus that always tries to talk
Florio?
About it. Yeah, I didn't know he was in the press conference yesterday.
Year dozen, you know, you get a shot at a three-peat, and are you looking at this as maybe your last year? Like, just walk through the front door here, brother.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm still enjoying coming to work. I'm not dreading practices. And, I had my guy, Julian Edelman, jump on New Heights with me and my brother last year. Uh-huh. And he was mentioning, you know, he had to hang it up when he couldn't go out there and practice, when he couldn't get out there and work on his craft to feel like he's, you know, accountable for the guys next to him. That's when he kind of started questioning. And I'm just having so much fun. I'm just, you know, just so appreciative and so fortunate that I've been able to come into year 12 and still have this energy and this love and the ability to go out there and get to work, man.
How much think about it after winning a second time?
It didn't cross my mind one bit. I think the excitement of the challenge of this year and being able to maybe do it a third time in a row, I think that alone was all I needed to come back. And I mean, thought so. It was never even a chance and hope that I wasn't back this year.
So that was Travis Kelce with Rich Eisen about retirement. You get those questions every year. I think this is like year three in a row. I think 2 years ago it was till the wheels fall off, baby. And then last year he gave the same quote, like, I'm here until they drag me off the field. And then this year it's like, well, I'm going for a three-peat. I have no sense of retirement. Now, we've all had our conversations aside. Mac did find out some research on the other loss. It was last year Detroit Lions, and then it was what, Mac?
2014 Titans. It was that second year under Andy Reid.
Second year of the Titans game. I don't remember that.
Yeah, 26-10. Smith threw three picks.
Wow.
And Ryan Succop got his revenge being released for Cairo Santos.
Is that that's the only year that the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs under Andy Reid then, right?
That is it. Yep. And this loss was really what kept them from it.
That's also the only year they haven't won at least 10 games.
10 games. Yeah, yep. That was a 9-7 type of season. Yep. I think about that, though. I mean, just put that in perspective for a second. The worst record that Andy Reid has faced in Kansas City is 9-7.
10 years. Unreal.
I mean, it's unbelievable what he's done. Like, I still don't think Andy Reid gets enough credit. He was asked even yesterday in the press conference about his job future as well, and he talked about, you know, I just signed a 5-year contract. And so I don't understand why the media nationally seemingly is in a rush to get Andy Reid and Travis Kelce out the door. Because I look at Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and I say, those two guys are so good for the NFL. I mean, Travis Kelce, not only as a player, but as the pop culture icon with Taylor Swift and all of that, bringing so many new people to the NFL. And Andy Reid is one of the few great NFL head coaches that are out there today that you can truly count on one hand. And it seems like these guys in the media who are doing these type of jobs and these interviews are hoping Andy Reid and Travis Kelce say something so they can say, oh, this happened on my show. It's very self-serving, in my opinion, to continue to ask Andy Reid and Travis Kelce what they're going to do in the future. Are they going to retire? Is the end coming? And I just think right now, like, the NFL doesn't have enough good head coaches, and it doesn't have enough, like, star players like Travis Kelce is to try to push these guys out the door. Both of these guys make the NFL better regardless of what city you're in, and I guess I don't understand the rush to kick him to the curb. Maybe people are bored with the Chiefs nationally or whatever it is, but I just see no need to rush Travis Kelce and Andy Reid out the door. Now, that being said, if you win a three-peat, I don't know if that changes stuff for them. I'd come back for a fourth-peat, right? Like, yeah. I wouldn't leave after three straight. Like, I just don't see this thing ending, and I don't see this thing ending anytime soon. And the only way it ends anytime soon, if Patrick Mahomes decides he's had enough and decides to walk away and then everybody else goes with him, I wouldn't blame them. But trying to push Andy Reid and Travis Kelce out the door just makes absolutely no sense for me.
Yeah, look, there's one thing that we know that Travis Kelce is looking forward to. It's a three-peat. The other thing, too, is that we know that this is another season that will involve, and we were talking about this yesterday in post-production meetings, that obviously the T-Swift effect will be back. I expect her to be there Thursday night. Mac will be there, so he's going to try to get her in an interview. Good luck with that, Mac.
Of course, yeah.
It's all about networking, buddy. But the thing is that I think another thing that's been kind of funny is that they keep, you know, bringing up the, are you going to, like, what's the next move? And is it proposal? It is not. It is a proposal for a play.
She has just been so open to learning the game. She didn't know much about the rules and everything. And I think what makes her so good in her profession is that she's so detailed in every aspect of it, from the words to the music to, you know, even the releases and the music videos and everything. She's so detailed and a part of it that I think she was just curious about the profession. And I don't think any of the none of the plays have gotten to Coach Reed yet. But if they ever do, I'll make sure everyone knows it was her creation.
But they exist, like there are actually something written down on a piece
of paper. She's a little biased and just creates plays for me. So we'll see. We'll see if they can make it to Coach Reed's his office.
I mean, look. Andy Reid seems to always be open for some sort of engagement.
Yeah.
For creativity, right? There's been times where they wrote it on a napkin and put it to him during like a gala or something like that. There's been times where they've, you know, they brought up the corn dog with a little extra ketchup and mustard on it.
They're watching Rose Bowl videos from the 20s, right? You know, the 1920s when Josh was born, you know, and, like, they're pulling plays from everywhere.
And if there's one thing that Andy Reid's been super supportive of, it's the whole relationship and, you know, who she is, what she's about. Could you imagine the Raiders get beat 49-7 and the last touchdown of the game is blank space play and it's to Travis Kelce who pitches it back to somebody who's actually lined up onside and they score, so you get two FUs to two different people on one play. Like, look, Kadarius Toney, that great play that you ruined last year worked this year, and it was called blank space because you're no longer here, and the Raiders, you suck because you made fun of Mahomes calling Kermit the Frog and all this sort of thing and made a puppet out of him. Boom, Taylor Swift wins. NFL hates it. Teams hate it. Rub it in the Raiders' face. Kansas City loves it. Hey, Don.
Well, it's one of those things that Andy Reid does so well that allows him to be that player's coach. He allows them to have that input. And I guarantee you at some point in this season, we're going to hear about a play that Taylor Swift had input in. I mean, that's just the way that Andy Reid operates. And he makes these guys work their asses off in training camp. Nobody works harder than the Chiefs. Nobody works harder than this organization. But he also rewards them with stuff like that, to have that input, to help design the plays, to help be part of everything, to give them a feel that they are truly involved in the day-to-day type of stuff. So I look at that and I say, yeah, Andy Reid will have a play that is designed by Taylor Swift. And you know what? They may run a play that looks so cool, they may just give Taylor Swift the credit for that one. I mean, that's the type of coach Andy Reid is. And so he understands their showmanship to this. He understands, you know, you're here to sell tickets and market the team and, you know, make everybody love the Kansas City Chiefs even more. So I guarantee you at some point in this season, we will hear about that Taylor Swift play. And I'm here for it, man. I love the whole Taylor Swift effect that goes on in Kansas City.
Don't forget, we do have the Wednesday poll up. Who will lead the Chiefs in receptions Thursday night? There are 171 votes. We'll give you the results every hour of where they're at. 171 votes so far. And the four candidates who will lead the Chiefs in receptions on Thursday night: Rushee Rice, Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, Isaiah Pacheco. Pop is what they call him.
And you said he led the week one last year.
With only four. That shows you how bad it was really from jumpstart last year with this team. Like, from an offensive standpoint, Isaiah Pacheco led the team with four receptions last year in the opening game.
Sad.
Like, that shows you they could just not get anything going from an offensive standpoint. And they still almost won the damn football game, too, right? Like, you look back at all that stuff that they had to overcome, shows you how damn good Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and company are, that they had nobody leading them in receptions in that first game. They almost won the damn game without Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, too.
That is the Wednesday poll question. We move that into the random Chiefs question today, which is, which newcomer, not named Xavier Worthy, will have the biggest impact on the Chiefs this year? So a newcomer that wasn't here last year, that's the definition, that's here now, will be the biggest impact on this Chiefs roster. Can't be Xavier Worthy. 913-586-7965, Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Bob, take it away.
I'm going to go with Carson Steele on this one. Like, I was not a believer in this guy at the beginning of training camp, and then we saw how the running back position kind of played out, what they decided to do with him. I've talked to enough people in the organization about, the, you know, Carson Steele. I think he's going to be a big player for this team. I think he is going to be the legit number two running back all year long. I think they're going to utilize him in goal line situations. I think they're going to use him in short yardage situations. And I think they're going to utilize him catching the ball out of the backfield. Like, he's not a fullback. He's going to be your running back number two. And I think you're going to have a nice split between him and Pacheco. So, like, if you're a fantasy person out there and you're concerned about who's going to get the carries for the Chiefs this year, I wouldn't load up on Isaiah Pacheco. I think they're going into the season. Now, things change over the course of a season, but the plan is to go into the season and have a one and a two and split those carries to keep both of those guys fresh, because you're going to need a fresh running back. You don't have much depth now at that running back position. P. Ryan is a nice addition that you had, but he's not quite ready to go from an offensive standpoint where you expect him to be a big contributor early on. And we know for the first four games of the season, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the non-football injury list. We don't know when we're going to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. So I do think there's going to be a big split in carries between Pacheco and Steele. Both run very hard. You want to preserve their shelf life for as long as you possibly can. So I think Carson Steele's going to have a big impact on this team.
Yeah, I like it. I hope you're right, man. You know, I was with you until about a week ago, until they did get Samaje Perine. I think Perine will come in as that number two back. But
So that's your answer?
No, that's not my answer, but I hope that we get to see. What are we calling him now? The Animal Steel?
George the Animal Steel, right? Yeah.
I'm going to go Jaden Hicks on the defensive side. I think this guy's going to be.
How do you grade that impact?
What do you mean?
Like you, from an offensive standpoint, you can see numbers. You can see touchdowns. You can see receptions,
I guess,
right?
You can see tackles. You could see passes defended. But, yeah, I guess you're right. It's going to be more eye test, less of a box score thing. I think he's going to be a starting safety for this team. So that's one. You're going to see him a lot in the game. So you're going to know, okay, well, was that coverage busted? Was that on Hicks' side? Oh, that was a good open field tackle. Was that Jaden Hicks? So I think it'll kind of be an eye test thing, but you're right, less box score. But I think you're going to know. I think that's how good the impact is going to be. I don't think you're going to have to look at numbers. I think you're going to watch the game and go, wow, who is that new guy? Who's that new number? I think you're going to know real quick by week one.
Yeah, and you know, he's already, you know, capturing the minds of everybody inside that locker room. Yeah. I talked to some folks over the weekend who were just raving about him and how awesome he is.
That's great.
You know, it's one thing to hear from Tyrann Mathieu outside the organization, but then you hear people inside the organization like, no, this kid's legit. And why wouldn't he be? Brett Veach drafted him.
Exactly.
So there's absolutely no reason to think that this guy wouldn't be a superstar, because Brett Veach has pretty much hit on just about every draft pick that he's had, and they've turned into great players, especially at the defensive back position. And I can tell you, Justin Reed is really working with this kid too to kind of coach him up a little bit, and that's good to see. Justin Reed kind of taking the Alex Smith approach, you know, with Jaden Hicks, and so that's good for everybody involved. You want your veterans to be those leaders. It doesn't happen a lot because, hey, this guy's eventually going to take Justin Reed's job, or Patrick Mahomes is going to take Alex Smith's job, but you can't look at it that way. Justin Reed has to look at it from the standpoint of, what if I get hurt? This kid's going to need to step up, and we're going to need him to play. And so there's a good rapport going on right now inside that locker room and inside that position group to make Jaden Hicks the best he can be. And people are already falling in love with this kid inside that organization.
Quickly, I will go last. I believe it's Jared Wiley.
Love it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we haven't talked enough about him.
We really haven't. I mean, that's a good one, man. He's a sneaky good player. Yeah.
I like Wiley because of a little bit of the reasons you say. Like, look, I'll address the elephant in the room. Travis Kelce's getting older. Right? If you can get a guy, like you said, we can use the same sort of analogies through everywhere, right? Carson Steele, he's going to come in, try to be that guy on third and one, goal line runs, like maybe you've got some plays running for him. Mac talks about Jaden Hicks. You talk about how Justin Reed's going to go in there and try to help, you know, Hicks out, coach him up. If you're Jared Wiley, you just open up both of your ear holes and let Travis Kelce talk you to death until you're bored sick with it, and let you kind of develop into that role. And then you talk about like an unknown weapon that maybe nobody sees coming. And here we are in like week four, and all of a sudden Jared Wiley's averaging three catches for 35 yards a game. And then not only is Carson Steele helpful in the red zone, maybe Jared Wiley is helpful in the red zone as well, because another big body that you can distract and get one-on-one coverage when they bracket Kelce or they bracket Rashee Rice, a big body in the end zone as well. So to me, I like Jared Wiley as a quiet newcomer that could be really impactful to this team. If in fact they do use him that way as a dual threat option with Travis Kelce over the middle.
And he can still throw the baseball too. So if the Royals are looking for some relief help, Jared Wiley's throwing 95 off the mound. So let's go. But that's the other thing too about Travis Kelce. Like, people are going to look at his numbers this year, and his numbers may dip this year, but that doesn't mean he's lost it. It means like everybody's focusing on Travis Kelce. And if all of a sudden Travis's numbers dip a little bit, but Wiley's numbers are up, or Worthy's numbers are up, or Rice's numbers are up, or Pacheco's numbers are up, like, that's because because everybody's concentrating on Travis Kelce, and they're going to do their damnedest to try to take him out of the game, which is going to open so many more people up for this offense, people that they didn't have last year on this team. Like, they didn't have the opportunity to open this offense up after Travis Kelce because nobody really stepped it up. You're counting on Worthy. You're counting on Rashee Rice. You're counting on Juju Smith-Schuster a little bit as well to be a guy for Patrick Mahomes in that type of situation. Obviously, Mecole Hardman's still on this team. Sky Moore's still here. So you've got some guys now that can potentially raise their game when other teams are trying to take Travis Kelce out. And that has to be goal number one if you're the Ravens. Eliminate Travis Kelce. Don't let him beat us. And if everybody else does, well, then so be. At least the best player on the field didn't beat us.
On the other side of the clock, we call Jay Binkley and wake his ass up, even though we don't need to, because there's only 24 hours until the next game. And there's a big college football slate this weekend, whether you believe it or not. I'm Dusty. That's Bob and Mac as well. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Renner Garage Door, R-E-N-N-E-R, forward and back on the Missouri side. Checking the Cordell and Cordell No Delay Freeway, 70 westbound from 470 into downtown, 15 minutes. 71 northbound, still rolling now between 75th up towards Gregory. Whether you need a new smart LiftMaster opener, service, repair, or brand new garage door, Renner Garage Door has you covered. Locally owned, top rated, R-E-N-N-E-R, forward and back, RennerDoor.com. Touchdown Renner. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football. College football with Binkley. They're throwing a Sean Thompson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with JB. Got the chow in, wearing them short, track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce. Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family. B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink. College football, baby. They're throwing a Charles Johnson ball to Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football to Binkley.
Better believe it, it's that time on a Wednesday where we go to Jay Binkley. We threw our chaws in. I haven't got Bob a can of Copenhagen. Fine cut, not long cut, but we go to Jay Binkley now here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Binkley, how are you on this wonderful, beautiful Wednesday morning?
What's going on, fellas? We're getting close. We're getting close.
Are you close to what, Jay? I mean, we've already had 2 weeks of college football.
Well, that's fine. I'm talking about the Chiefs tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a college football segment. Hey, let me ask you something totally off script here real fast. Who's a bigger fraud, Dabo Sweeney or Brian Kelly?
That's a close one. I think Dabo, the problem is Dabo Sweeney's a great coach, but he won't play in 2024 like their philosophy. If you're not doing a transfer portal and you're not giving no money for addition and only for retention, listen, I don't care how good a coach you are, you're not playing the game as the rules say.
All right, we're going to put Jay on hold, get a better connection with him, and try to figure things out here. I don't know where he's calling from, the Mars or the moon or someplace like that today. So we'll get a better connection with Jay Binkley as we do talk some college football with him. But I asked him, Brian Kelly or Dabo Sweeney, the bigger fraud. Like, Brian Kelly banging that table the other night, that was not believable. His fake Southern accent is not believable. And then Dabo Sweeney's railing the media for 51 seconds yesterday about something he's never read or listened to, but yet had 51 seconds of commentary on it. And as somebody told me, Dabo Sweeney was really good when it was a horse and buggy, and now that the car's in existence, Dabo Sweeney can't figure things out there down at Clemson. So that's why I ask you, Jay, who the bigger fraud was. It was it Brian Kelly or Dabo Sweeney, two guys that I think are kind of struggling a little bit so far this season.
Well, and the one thing about it is, too, I mean, Dabo, you know, did go to six straight playoffs when it wasn't 12 teams. It was just four teams, so he has that going. But if you're not going to hit the transfer portal and you see the talent deficiencies at Clemson this year, Brian Kelly, that team last year was good, except they didn't have a defensive coordinator. They bring in Mizzou's defensive coordinator from last year. they should be better, but I'm not slighting USC either because I think USC is a good football team right there with LSU. But LSU finished strong last year. And keep this in mind, they lose Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. in that offense and the Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, it's hard to replace that kind of talent.
Beakley, I'm excited for this weekend in college football because I look at the slate and I see Texas, Michigan, Tennessee, and the Wolfpack, or the Bat, Wisconsin. I see Colorado, Nebraska, 6 o'clock Saturday. That's where I will be. Kansas, Illinois, Iowa State, Iowa already. So that game will be 7-7 at the start of the fourth quarter. And then there's other games as well that are, you got Boise State, Oregon. Where does the six-pack on ice get started for you on Saturday? Probably 10:30, but I assume that you've got a game that you're really dialed into.
Well, I'll get up and watch game day and stuff. And 11 o'clock is a good slate because you have Michigan, you know, going against Texas. I think that game is going to be probably priority one. But Kansas State and Tulane, I'm actually looking forward to that one, too, because that starts at the exact same time. So it'll be a double vision on there. But I think those are two great games to start. Then the only other game between two ranked teams, obviously you mentioned Tennessee and NC State. That's a fun game to watch, too. Grayson McCall, who was at quarterback at Coastal Carolina, did so well. He transferred to NC State. And then, of course, Nico Ialamaleva, the quarterback of Tennessee.
That was close, Jay. That was close.
You nailed it, Jay. Let's talk about
I've been trying.
But the game that everybody's going to be watching is Colorado and Nebraska because of the Deion effect. Yeah. Whether you like them or whether you hate them, you pay attention, and that's great for the sport. Is Deion and Colorado better this year than they were last year, or are they worse off than where they were a season ago?
You know, that remains to be seen. I will tell you this. They looked very similar. The team looked very similar to what last year. The tackling was bad. The offense was high octane and moving the ball down the field. But it looked a lot like last year. North Dakota State had a chance to win that game, and this isn't your daddy's North Dakota State team that we've seen in the past. Last year, the reason this Colorado-Nebraska game is going to be so good is last year, Colorado beat them in game two. They beat them 36-14. And we know the only four wins for Colorado last year, but they put it on Nebraska. They embarrassed Nebraska because that Colorado team, it looked like, oh, it's a big win for Colorado. Well, it looks more like a bad loss for Nebraska last year when they beat them. But Jimmy Horn Jr., the wide receiver for Colorado, was just freaking fun to watch. Almost had 200 yards. And Travis Hunter, the best player in college football. It's not even a question. The way he runs routes, the impact he has on a game with the wide receiver. He only missed two snaps that entire game playing cornerback and wide receiver. But, he right now is the best player in college football. I don't think there's a debate.
All three local teams kind of took care of business over the weekend. Did you see anything that was of note? Other than maybe that Missouri might have a running back in the hiding of the season. But other than that, I mean, was there anything to really like picture point or pinpoint when you watch those three teams just blow out the competition?
No, they took care of business and they didn't struggle because a lot of times you'll see FCS teams sneak up and beat an FBS team or give them all that they wanted, like hence Oregon against Idaho when you have FCS playing FBS. But that backfield for Missouri and with Cody Schrader, they're going to be able to replace him because they had everybody coming back from the wide receiver position. But you see Luther Burden with what kind of impacts he's going to have with his team. And Marcus Carroll and Noel, the running backs, are going to be great for Missouri this year. And people were a little bit concerned about their defense. Defense was a good defense last year. They lose the defensive coordinator to LSU, but didn't allow points in the game. And Brady Cook looked poised as ever. Norfleet, the tight end, got banged up and hasn't been at practice this week. So that's something to watch. But we didn't see much, but we'll find out a lot about these teams this week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, Jay, Florida State really stinking up the joint on their first two games of the season. Is the Big 12 ignoring their phone calls now, or is the Big 12 like blocking them? Like, where do you see that situation?
Well, Florida State's a mess. And last year, you know, they were real upset they didn't make the playoffs. And they just weren't one of the best teams, the four best teams left in college football. And it proved its point. And the way that they basically didn't care about that bowl game, went there and just got destroyed by Georgia with 63-3, didn't even care. And now they're trying to make overtures and sue the ACC conference. They're trying to – they really wanted to get the SEC, but the SEC doesn't want them. Now they're really trying hard for the Big 12 to take them. They got way too many distractions going on. DJ Uiagalelei, their quarterback, he was at Clemson, couldn't make it there. Then he goes to Oregon State, was a little bit better than he was at Clemson. It is a bomb at Florida State. But that team looks hopeless, man. I mean, they have – and keep this in mind – 20 of the last 21 seasons, a team ranked in the top 10 to start the season has not finished ranked at all.
How many? Say that again.
2021. That's going to be Florida State this year. Last year was USC.
Yeah, no, Florida State. I mean, they're done. You're sitting at 0-2 and lost the way that you did in Ireland on that last second field goal, and then you know got your doors kicked in the other night. So I just like Florida State is having that same type of effect that the Royals are having right now, right? Like it's tough for them to get over the loss of Vinny Pasquantino. It seems like Florida State's having a tough time still recovering from not being part of that playoff last year.
Yeah, they are. They really were. We're down about that, and of course, very, very upset about that. And of course, did beat the LSU in that opening game, and then of course, LSU loses again. You speak of Brian Kelly. Boy, it's a tough race for he and Dabo. But yeah, and LSU of course starts out 0-1 this year after losing to a very good USC team.
Mm-hmm. All right, Binkley, we'll enjoy another night without NFL football because it comes back tomorrow. I know you're excited, and maybe just go watch the Netflix series again with Joey Chestnut, Shatner's world record. But Binkley, thank you again for coming on with Fesco and Dusty here on another Wednesday morning.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
You guys.
Let's give away $50 to Hy-Vee. Are you guys ready to do that? All right, Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play this sounder.
That's like horseradish.
In the break. And when you hear that sounder, be caller number 15 at 913-586-7610. And we're going to give you $50 to Hy-Vee. Football season starts tomorrow. You got to get your tailgate on. Get all your Chiefs gear at Hy-Vee. Get your Chiefs-themed cakes at Hy-Vee.
Ooh,
get
nice.
Your charcuterie at Hy-Vee. Mm. All that good stuff coming your way. So when you hear that drop, be caller 15 during the break.
That's
and
like horseradish.
$50 to my good friends over at Hy-Vee.
Dusty Leggins, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty coming up. Everybody else sucks too. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.